right foot green.
Seven of Nine watched as Chakotay lifted his right foot and placed it on one of the coloured circular spots on the white mat in front of him, puzzling to herself as she did.
How did I come to be playing this game?
It seemed a fairly innocuous invite to join the senior staff in the captain's quarters for a social gathering. The doctor had always encouraged her to socialize with the crew more, so this had seemed like a perfect opportunity. Added to this was the fact that the captain had asked her personally, and for some reason Seven was finding it harder to refuse when the captain requested anything. However, the evening had taken an unexpected turn when Tom Paris had suggested playing some parlor games. Seven was unfamiliar with this term, the collective having little use for retaining memories of frivolous pursuits. So she had watched with interest as others had participated in a number of these games, becoming increasingly competitive as the night wore on. She had managed to watch from afar until Tom had produced a game called Twister. The others had encouraged her to play, suggesting that she would be a natural. Seven seriously doubted this, but when the captain gave her one of those strange little looks that she always seemed to be proffering her, Seven found herself getting up to join in. So here she was, playing. Of course she did play other games, Velocity with the captain and Catascot with Naomi, but this just seemed so childish. But then it was Tom Paris' suggestion, so what could she have expected? The others had told her briefly what the rules were, but said that she would soon understand what to do anyway. There were four of them playing the game, with Tom as the caller and the referee. Chakotay stood to her left. Along the side of the mat there were six green circles in a row, with his right foot now in the third circle from the end. Opposite her stood Harry Kim, with four different coloured circles in front of him, green, yellow, blue, and red. To her right stood the captain, along the side of the mat that had six red circles in a row. She suddenly noticed that the captain was looking at her with amusement on her features.
No need to look so scared, Seven. We promised to make it easy on you.
Seven had detected an almost imperceptible wink from the captain, wondering at the same time if someone had increased the temperature setting on the environmental controls.
Left foot, blue.
Harry Kim placed his left foot on the blue circle immediately in front of him, looking smugly at Tom.
Too easy.
So far, Seven really couldn't understand what the interest in this game was.
Right hand, yellow.
The captain reached over and placed her right hand on the fourth yellow circle in front of Seven. Suddenly Seven realized that perhaps this game could be interesting after all. She now had a very good view of the captain's backside. As she began to feel rather warm, she concluded that there definitely was a malfunction in the environmental controls.
Okay, Seven, right hand blue for you.
Seven crouched down and put her right hand on the second blue circle from her end. She glanced up and almost lost her balance and fell over, which would have, of course, meant her losing the game. She was determined she definitely didn't want to do that, as in front of her now she had a perfect view straight down the captain's shirt. Seven found that she was staring and tried to avert her eyes, but not before the captain had noticed.
Seven, are you all right?
Yes, Captain.
The captain's mouth twitched into a faint smile, or was it a smirk? Seven couldn't believe that the captain had agreed to play while wearing the cream shirt that she had worn for Nilix's Prixen celebration some months ago. It had been obvious to Seven that the first time she had seen the captain in it, that it would become revealing once the captain bent over. Not that Seven had spent many evenings in Cargo Bay 2 thinking about such things, of course.
Left foot. Blue.
Chakotay put his left foot on the fourth blue circle from Seven's end. He was now partly straddling the captain, his groin area rather too close to the captain's face for Seven's liking.
Sorry about that, Captain. It was the easiest spot.
Seven did not concur. Why he had felt the need to pick that particular circle eluded her, and she clenched her left Borg hand to try and control the anger she felt rising within her.
Harry, your go again. Right hand, yellow.
The ensign put his hand on the second yellow circle from his end, his face now perilously close to Chakotay's bottom. From her position watching on the couch, B'Elanna laughed.
Nice position, Harry.
Sitting next to her, Neelix added his own helpful comment.
Just don't breathe.
Seven didn't quite understand why a man being close to Chakotay's rear was funny, but the three watchers seemed to be amused. Even the doctor was sniggering.
Captain, left hand, red.
The captain placed her left hand on the second red circle from Seven's end, the move putting the captain almost directly facing her, giving Seven an even better view down her top. Seven tried to resist looking but couldn't help noticing part of a soft breast barely hidden under the shirt.
Seven, left foot green.
For a moment, Seven didn't register the instruction.
Seven, left foot green.
Seven started, quickly putting her left foot on the second green circle from her end, next to the one with Chakotay's right foot. She thought it prudent to get close to the commander and try and block him off. She could now understand why the others had become so competitive in their games, as she found she had a strong desire to beat the tattooed man.
Right hand yellow, Chakotay.
The commander reached over the top of Seven to place his hand behind her on the yellow circle closest to her end. She could feel his chest hovering uncomfortably close to her head.
Right foot red, Harry.
No problem.
Despite Seven, the captain and Chakotay being firmly ensconced at Seven's end of the board, Harry still managed to get in a tangle, crashing to the mat in embarrassment.
Crap.
Seven felt a bit sorry for him. He was just too short to be an effective player of this game, though that didn't seem to be stopping the captain. Those watching didn't seem to be sympathetic, B'Elanna commenting first.
That was bloody useless, Harry. Too many Romulan ales.
Harry scrambled off the mat to join B'Elanna, the doctor, and Neelix in watching the rest of the game from the couch. The young man glanced indignantly at B'Elanna.
I don't see you trying it.
That's because I have sense, and no desire to be that close to Chakotay's horse.
The doctor also whispered his own remark.
Given his rear-view position, I think Mr. Kim took a tactical dive.
Meanwhile, the game continued.
Okay, Captain. Right foot blue.
The captain maneuvered her right foot just under her body, on the third blue circle from Seven's end. This had the effect of pushing her breasts up slightly, almost poking out of the low-cut shirt. As her heart rate increased somewhat, Seven noticed that Chakotay also seemed to be taking a keen interest in the spectacle, and resolved that it was time for the commander's participation in this game to cease.
Right foot green, Seven.
Seven could immediately see this gave her just the right opportunity to achieve her goal. She shifted slightly so that she could bring her right leg out from underneath her and forward, aiming for the fourth green circle from the end. As her leg was passing Chakotay's right foot on the third circle, she gave a slight nudge to his foot, hoping that nobody would notice amongst the mass of tangled limbs. The commander's foot slipped backwards off the mat and he came crashing down onto Seven. Her enhanced Borg strength allowed her to remain hovering above the floor as Chakotay bounced off her and sprawled out onto the carpet.
Fuck us, bugger!
The doctor turned to the others on the couch.
Do you think that was an exclamation of disgust? Or a list of his sexual preferences.
Doctor, some of us are eating food.
I would hardly deem Mr. Nalix's concoctions worthy of that annotation. I'm probably saving you a trip to sickbay later by making you regurgitate it now.
As Chakotay got up, he shot Seven an inquisitive look, clearly trying to work out if she had toppled him deliberately. She merely raised the implant above her left eye and said nothing. He looked like he was about to say something, but obviously decided better of it and just sighed as he joined the watchers. Neelix plonked a steaming bowl in his lap.
Heavy serving of my basic wit and lola root through me to command. Excessive consumption can have a laxative effect, but if you partake of it in moderation, you should be fine.
Thanks.
Now was just Seven and the captain left on the mat. Seven was facing upwards, her chest pointing at the ceiling, feet on green circles, right hand behind her in blue. The captain, meanwhile, was in the crouching position facing Seven, her face roughly level with Seven's chest.
Captain, left hand blue.
The captain picked up her left hand, and with a slight grunt as the stretch involved, placed it on the first blue circle at Seven's end.
Oh.
The captain was now leaning over Seven, the opening of the cream shirt dangling in Seven's face. The captain's chest was so close that Seven could smell the perfume that she was wearing. She breathed in deeply through her nose, partly to try and calm herself, and partly to inhale some more of the wonderful aroma. She was glad the rest of her shipmates couldn't see her face, obscured as it was by the captain's shirt, as she was sure it was probably a fetching shade of red at this moment.
Right foot blue, Seven, if you can hear me under there.
Seven looked down at her body and repositioned her right foot, shifting the rest of her body slightly too. As she looked up, she found that she was now looking directly into a pair of deep blue eyes. She was captivated, and it took her a moment to realize that she had actually stopped breathing altogether. She took an almighty gulp of air that came out as a gasp. Since their faces were mere centimeters apart, the captain couldn't help but notice, and she smiled back at Seven in amusement, making Seven think that the captain knew precisely the effect she was having. Was this why she had been so keen for Seven to join this particular game? The captain was also breathing heavily, though Seven wasn't sure if this was due to the exertions of the game or for some other reason.
Right hand blue.
The captain removed her right hand from its present location and looked around to see where she could put it instead. As her head turned, the captain's auburn hair brushed against Seven's face, and she closed her eyes at the pleasant sensation. Obviously, the captain was having some difficulty selecting a new circle, as she seemed to be deliberating for quite some time. Finally, she turned back to look at Seven, still not having put her right hand down. Seven opened her eyes, though she thought the captain must have spotted her reveling in the delightful feel of the captain's hair on her face.
Looks like there's only one place to put it.
Wondering what she meant, Seven glanced down in time to see the captain's hand heading towards the mat directly between Seven's legs. Seven's eyes shot back up at the captain's face and stared wide-eyed at the older woman, fear and anticipation warring within her. The captain seemed momentarily distracted too, as her hand brushed the inside of Seven's right thigh on its way down. The thrill that shot through Seven's body at the contact overwhelmed her, and she let out a small moan as her arms quivered before giving way, dumping her on her bottom underneath the captain. The captain glanced at her as she stood up, a playful smile curving the corners of her mouth.
Good game, Seven.
She offered Seven a hand so she could get up too. Seven took a moment to compose herself before taking it and clamoring to her feet.
It seems you know how to play this game too well, Captain.
Practice makes perfect.
She leaned closer to Seven.
Maybe I can give you a few tips on time, Seven.
Seven was left momentarily speechless as the captain turned to the others.
So, what's the next game?
How does everyone feel about a round of blindman's buff?
What exactly is it that we are expected to buff, Lieutenant?
Seven's mind turned inexplicably to the captain's first twister maneuver, the one that brought Janeway's rear so deliciously close to Seven's face. She thought to herself,
what is it that we will buff? And why sightlessly?
Tom extended a hand towards the captain. Seven felt a sudden urge to swat it away, but that would look strange. She would let it go. After all, he didn't seem to be moving to touch her. Instead, he gently took the translucent fine mesh scarf around the captain's neck between the thumb and forefinger and slid it from her shoulders with a flirtatious,
I think we'll need to borrow this, Captain.
There was still time to swat him, Seven decided. Perhaps not on the hand, but on the head, right in the face. But it wouldn't be polite while he was talking to her.
After your disappointing near-winter twister, Seven, I think we should give you a chance to redeem yourself.
What is it that I am required to do?
Harris was already doubling the scarf over twice and approaching her.
We tie this around your eyes, we scatter, and you have to try and catch one of us. When you do, you identify us.
How is this done?
You feel your way.
And then the world turned pink with white floral patches. Seven didn't want to spoil the party atmosphere by announcing that her Borg sensors alerted her not only to the exact position of all the life signs in the room, but also to the identity of each life sign. In any case, this could be used interestingly and to her advantage. She hadn't much experience in the game of social interaction, and certainly no acquaintance with the rules of romance. But she knew the captain had been flirting with her during their game of Twister. It was time to play along. She stumbled a little and grabbed handfuls of air for show. Then she made her way towards Chakotay. Not surprisingly, he did not attempt to move out of her path. He simply waited. In what Seven, could she have seen the expression on his face, would have judged as smug anticipation. Still clawing the air like a boxing tiger, making an impressive effort at appearing disorientated, Seven brought her right hand in a sudden smacking contact with Chakotay's left ear.
Shit!
Aha! Commander Chakotay. I apologize for the inadvertent collision. However, with your involuntary ejaculation, you have now given yourself away. Is it correct that I should now proceed to the next individual?
Go ahead, Seven.
She turned sharply, her knee impacting Chakotay's groin area, entirely by accident. It didn't encounter resistance of much bulk.
Fucking hell!
Chakotay attended to, with pseudo-unsteady short steps. Seven made her way towards Captain Janeway. The captain was hiding in a corner. As much as her heart raced at the prospect of being legitimately felt up by Seven of Nine, she honestly couldn't predict how she would deal with the reality of it. A wink and a flirt were exciting, but Seven was about to touch her. Her mind raced.
Fuck, she's heading right for me. This is too perfect. Of course, Seven's Borg senses would detect.
And then Seven's hands were on her face, gently. Very gently. Catherine's knees buckled, but Seven cupped her cheeks, with her thumbs sliding under her chin, holding her and not letting her fall. No one watching noticed the falter.
A small face.
Seven ran her index finger along Catherine's jawline. Her thumbs brushed the skin beneath her eyes.
High cheekbones.
Her right hand tilted her chin upwards and to the side, and her left index finger felt slowly from the center of her forehead, beneath her hairline, and down the perfect profile to the dimple under her chin. Catherine looked carefully at the beautiful blind Borg. She began to look a little desperately, needing to see Seven's eyes. She was searching for the outline through the flowers. As Seven's fingers approached her lips, she honestly couldn't say whether she did it instinctively, coincidentally, or deliberately. She licked her lips. Seven could feel Catherine's tongue touch her quickly and hotly, and Catherine could taste Seven's fingers touching her tongue gently and coolly, though both breathed in sharply. Catherine forgot that anyone else was in the room. Seven's senses ignored the other life signs present. Harry cupped his hands over his crutch. Chakotay's had been crushed by Seven's knees, so he didn't need to bother. Seven felt herself growing bolder. She traced an accurate path down the outside of Catherine's arms and back up the insides. Catherine glanced down. Seven's hands were approaching. If she moved them a little...
Oh, Captain.
Catherine tore the blindfold off Seven. Hurriedly, she took control of the situation.
Oh, yes, Seven, you're right, it's me.
There was a moment's silence. Then Tom clapped three times, slowly and loudly.
Well done, Seven. You scored.
Ten minutes later, Janeway sat on the couch in her quarters, trepidation building within her. After the abrupt end to Blind Man's Buff, she had plonked herself down here to try and compose herself. She knew she had been flirting outrageously with Seven during Twister, but hadn't expected to come back and bite her in such a fashion. Though she wouldn't mind Seven biting...
No, stop it.
She told the little devil in her mind. She just couldn't seem to help herself around the young woman. Normally she could restrict herself to just staring at various parts of Seven's anatomy, hoping that she didn't notice. But the proximity of her body during the past two games had driven her crazy.
Yes, that must be it,
she thought to herself.
Temporary insanity is what's wrong with me. Nothing to do with being attracted to Seven. Nope. No way.
Luckily, Seven had gone over to the console on the captain's desk to study something after the game, rather than follow her to the couch, giving Janeway a bit of breathing space. She knew she had to try and calm the situation. Any more games like the last two, and her heart was liable to beat so fast that it could sprint out the door and once round the ship before anyone noticed it was gone. And as for her legs, they had gone so wobbly when Seven had touched her face that it was a miracle she had made it to the couch with any semblance of dignity. There was only one thing for it. She would have to cut out the flirting. It wasn't fair on Seven anyway, having the person who was supposed to be her teacher and mentor making suggestive remarks and overtures the whole time. It was practically sexual harassment. Not that Seven was complaining. Shortly after she sat down, Tom had started explaining the game, which was called Switch.
We write everyone's name on a piece of paper and put it in a hat.
Do you have one?
It doesn't have to be a literal hat, Harry. Just some receptacle or other. Here, the captain's coffee cup will do. Then we draw two names out, and they have to go somewhere pitch black and exchange clothes.
Including underwear.
Gross! No one wants to get into your underpants.
Apart from maybe Ensign Harry. He expressed quite the interest last night at Sandrine's. What was it he said again? I wouldn't mind feeling his angry warrior.
He did not say that.
I thought it was the commander's furry medicine bundle he was interested in.
Shut up!
In answer to your question, you can keep your underwear to yourself. The pair that changes clothes quickest is the winner.
I volunteer to be judge this time, since I can hardly participate. Where do you suggest the switch is performed, Mr. Paris?
We just need somewhere dark and private. The captain's bedroom, under the sheets.
Think again, Mr. Paris.
Bathroom?
Acceptable.
As soon as Janeway had heard the game explained, she began to fear over who she'd be paired with. Of course, there were seven of them playing, so there was a chance she wouldn't have to do the game at all. And then only a 1 in 6 chance that she would be paired with a certain blonde astromestrix officer, and if she did have to participate. However, as the first two pairs came and went, she began to feel that today was not her day. First up were B'Elanna and Harry, followed by Tom and Neelix. It had at least given her one laugh seeing Tom wearing one of Neelix's usual garish creations when they had emerged from the bathroom. So that just left her, Chakotay, and Seven. The doctor pulled out the first name.
The captain.
Janeway groaned inwardly, though she found that part of her was also glad that Chakotay wasn't going with Seven. But now there was a 50-50 chance she was about to be sent into a darkened room where Seven would remove her clothes. She could feel a nervous sweat prickling at her neck, and she struggled to keep her breathing even. As the doctor delved for the second name, she secretly prayed.
Chakotay. Please let it be Chakotay.
Seven!
What were the fates trying to do to her? Wondered the captain. She looked at the smug expression on the doctor's face.
He rigged it. Damn him.
She made a mental note to assign him extra waste reclamation duties.
Off you go, then.
Janeway shot him a level 10 death glare before getting up and heading towards the bathroom. She could do this. She was a Starfleet captain. She could cope with taking her clothes off with someone else in the room, even if they were stunningly beautiful and you just wanted to...
Will you shut up?
She berated her little devil. It was a moment before she realized that Seven was not following, and she turned to regard the woman. Seven seemed to be rooted to the spot.
Seven?
Seven visibly started.
Sorry, Captain. I am coming.
Oh, I wish.
Catherine's inner devil chimed in before she could silence it. As they got to the bathroom door, Janeway placed a restraining hand on Seven's arm for a moment.
Oh, and Seven?
Yes, Captain.
No cheating this time.
Seven obviously realized she'd been rumbled for her behavior in Blind Man's Buff, and Catherine thought she caught a slight blush spreading across the young woman's cheeks.
I will deactivate the Borg implants that enhance my visual acuity.
With that, they entered the bathroom, shut the door, and were plunged into total darkness. Catherine carried on walking into the room, not wanting to have Seven bump into her from behind, and walked straight into the sink.
What?
Captain, are you damaged?
At least she knew where the young woman was, even if she couldn't see her. It really was totally dark without the lights on, and no amount of squinting seemed to be able to get her eyes accustomed to it.
Yes, I'm fine, Seven. Just a small bump. You can stay where you are. I presume you can't see a thing either.
You are correct in your presumption.
Right. Well, I guess we should get on with this. Why don't I give you my shirt first?
She proceeded to unbutton the silky cream top and removed it from her slender shoulders. She suddenly felt rather exposed standing in just her bra, despite the fact that she knew Seven couldn't see her. She realized her nipples had stiffened under the lacy undergarment.
Must be the chill,
she reasoned to herself. She held the shirt out at arm's length in the direction she hoped Seven was standing.
There you go.
Thank you, Captain.
Seven's hands groped in the air, finally closing over the shirt. Catherine waited patiently for Seven to put the shirt on. After what seemed like an eternity, Seven still had not said anything. Catherine might have thought she was alone in the room, apart from the fact that she could almost sense the young woman's presence, and if she concentrated really hard, she could just make out a faint sound of breathing.
Seven, is everything okay?
I seem to be having some difficulty with this garment. I'm unaccustomed to buttons. I believe I need your assistance.
Catherine gulped, and she was sure the sound echoed around the entire room. She definitely wasn't feeling that chill now. In fact, she could feel her palms growing distinctly sweaty at the prospect of helping Seven put the shirt on. Janeway took a deep breath.
Okay, stay where you are.
She took a few tentative steps in the direction that Seven's voice came from, an arm outstretched in front of her. She moved it slowly from side to side as she stepped until she made contact with something silky. She clasped Seven's arm. A sudden wave of excitement shot through her at the thought of Seven wearing her own shirt, and she had to take a moment just holding the arm. Trying to resist the temptation to stroke her hands up and down it and feel the silkiness of it over the other woman's skin.
That is my arm, Captain.
Yes, I know, Seven. Thank you.
I was unsure, since you did not seem to be proceeding any further.
Catherine wondered how the young woman could remain so cool. She herself was finding it increasingly difficult to breathe, not helped by the fact that she knew Seven would be able to hear the raggedness of her breaths. She removed her hand from Seven's arm and moved it in the direction of the center of the shirt. Suddenly her fingers brushed over a small protuberance in the shirt. Catherine quickly drew her hand back, like she had received an electric shock.
Oh my God, Seven, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
It is all right, Captain. I realize your touching my nipple was unintentional.
Well, Seven definitely didn't sound cool now, Catherine mused, slightly grateful that she wasn't the only nervous one in the room. She tried to steady herself and stop her hands from shaking as she again reached for the shirt. Mercifully, finding the two edges this time, somehow she managed to fumble the buttons together, though it certainly was a tight fit across Seven's ample chest. She let out a huge sigh of relief when she was done. She had been holding her breath the whole time.
Okay, I'll give you my trousers next if you, remove the rest of your bio suit.
Catherine closed her eyes despite the dark, tilted her head back, and sighed as she listened to the sound of Seven removing her clothes. Visions of creamy, long, smooth legs floated across her mind, legs that ran all the way up to...
Jesus, Janeway, will you stop it?
She instructed the inner devil. She quickly started taking her own trousers off, only then realizing that Seven had already finished disrobing while she had been caught in her thoughts and was heading in her direction.
Seven, wait!
She began shooting up from the bending position, with one trouser leg off and the other trailing from her ankle. She was cut off by a 6 foot of ball crashing into her as Seven tripped over the loose trousers.
Oh.
The captain's backside impacted with the carpeted floor, followed by Seven's body tumbling on top of her. A myriad of sensations washed over Catherine as she lay on her back. She could feel the heat radiating from the other woman's body as it pressed against hers, and Seven's breath was coming in short gasps as it tickled the hair by Catherine's ear. Catherine luxuriated in the feel of those long, smooth legs she had been fantasizing about moments before, sliding against her own naked limbs. Heat suffused her body, and she felt a strange tingling sensation in her stomach, spreading lower. Those legs truly were wonderful, and...
Seven?
Yes, Captain?
Do you not wear underwear under your biosuit?
I have never seen the need for such garments before.
Of course. Silly me. How efficient.
Janeway couldn't think of much better to say. She was too absorbed in the feel of the short, wiry hair brushing against her thigh to formulate a longer sentence. Her little devil was screaming at her to lift that thigh, just a little, so that it could rub against...
No!
Pardon, Captain?
Catherine realized that she had said that out loud, and was grateful that the darkness prevented Seven from seeing the deep shade of crimson she obviously was at this point.
Nothing. You can get off now, Seven. Me, that is. You can get off me.
Yes, Captain. Of course.
As Seven clambered off her, Catherine's body practically cried out at the loss of the warmth. Janeway got up onto her knees and scrambled round for her trousers, grateful that she didn't have to stand immediately, as her heart hammered in her chest. She heard another gasp from above her, and suddenly realized that Seven had not retreated very far, and that her own hair was sweeping across Seven's legs as she fumbled on the floor at her feet.
Maybe you ought to back up a bit, Seven.
That is probably advisable, Captain.
Finally, Janeway found the trousers, got up and handed them to Seven, who in turn passed her the biosuit. Janeway took a couple of steps back and leaned against a bathroom wall, the coolness helping to settle the searing heat within her. She stayed there for a couple of seconds, breathing through her nose to calm herself. Before she knew what she was doing, she had brought the biosuit up to her face and was sniffing it. She started in shock. What on earth was she doing? Though the scent of Seven on the suit had definitely been intoxicating. Pushing those thoughts from her mind, she attempted to find one of the leg holes of the suit and squeeze herself into it. The fact that she was extremely hot and flustered did not help matters, and she seemed to be having a great difficulty with it.
Seven, how do you ever get these things on?
I believe you now need my assistance, Captain.
Janeway just knew, even without being able to see, that Seven was raising an implant above her left eye at this point.
There's no need. I can...
But before Janeway could finish her objection, Seven's hands were on her hips seeking out the suit. Catherine could feel her legs buckling again as the warm hands touched her flesh.
I haven't gotten it up that far yet.
Yes, I realize that now.
She didn't seem to be in a hurry to move her hands from their position on Janeway's chest, though. Eventually, she slowly slipped them down the outside of Janeway's thighs, seeking out the suit, as Catherine trembled at the heavenly touch.
Are you cold, Captain?
It took a moment for Catherine to register the question. She had been too distracted by the blissful feeling of Seven stroking her leg.
What?
You are shivering.
Yes. Yes. I am a bit. I only have my underwear on after all, Seven.
It was a lie. She couldn't be less cold if she was standing in the middle of a warp core.
Then it is best I expediently help you with this suit.
She deftly slipped it up Catherine's body and over her shoulders in one swift motion. Catherine was a bit disappointed she had managed it so easily, until she felt the young woman's hands fondling the hair at the back of her neck, the long fingers easing through the auburn strands.
I need to do up the fastener.
Janeway was pretty sure that there was no need for Seven to run her hands quite so seductively through her hair to achieve that.
I believe we are ready, Captain.
Janeway gave silent thanks. Much longer and she would have caved in, forgotten she was the captain, and ravaged Seven right there in the bathroom. Seven activated the door and Janeway blinked at the sudden rush of life before stumbling out of the bathroom to the laughter of the others. Seven couldn't breathe. She glanced down at her chest, at her breast suffering silently in the grip of Catherine's small shirt. She realized that she was showing more of her legs than she had ever shown before. Catherine's trousers were short on her and very tight across her behind. She shifted and felt the absence of her underwear. The captain, on the other hand, was looking quite comfortable, no doubt enjoying the environmental regulation attributes of the suit, Seven supposed. She had no way of knowing that Janeway was actually smiling at the subtle warmth she felt left in the fabric by Seven's body. Seven tried to take her eyes away from the captain. The captain's eyes met Seven and they stared at each other.
Poker, Seven?
Surely that is what she had heard. But she scarcely dared believe it.
I beg your pardon, Lieutenant Paris?
Poker.
Who is it that you require me to poke, Lieutenant?
Seven glanced at the captain.
It's a game, Seven. Poker.
Of course. Paris would never incite her to poke a superior officer. It was another game.
I am unsure of the rules, Lieutenant.
Paris thought for a long moment.
I guess they're pretty complicated for a beginner.
There is another game we could have a try at, one that everyone could have a whack at. And since we have the cards, we might as well use them.
With that, he shuffled them like an Atlantic City dealer and handed one to everyone in the room.
Circle. On the floor. Legs crossed.
They all did as they were told.
Since we don't have quite enough chairs, we'll have to start from the floor. Should make it more fun, though.
He had a wicked gleam in his eye. Deftly, he launched a card face down in the direction of every crew member. Seven looked at her card as though it was an explosive device. Janeway, who had positioned herself beside Seven, her knees pressed slightly together with a comfortable pain, carefully peeled her card from the floor and revealed it to herself as though it was exam results. Neither of them had any idea what significance they were meant to attribute to them.
Look at your card, Seven. It won't bite you.
Seven took a breath and, with a sticking plaster swiftness, ripped the card from the floor.
Very well, people. The rules are simple. You all have either a red or a black, odd or even card in front of you, correct? I call out red or black, odd or even. Each of you with a black or an even card moves a seat to the right. Red cards or odd cards move a seat to the left. First one to return to the seat they're in now wins.
Neelix's hand went up tentatively.
Ensign?
Yes, Neelix?
What do we do if there is someone in the seat we have to move into?
Harry looked at Neelix like he sprouted huge blonde whiskers and brown spots.
You sit on them.
Neelix spluttered.
This
was certainly a dilemma. Of course, he would never admit his reason. But he was extremely dubious, today of all days, of sitting on the lap of another crew member. Last night, in fact, midnight, the need for a snack had come upon him. Without thinking, he had partaken of two huge bowls of his basic wheat and leola root frumity. At 0300 hours, during his third trip to the bathroom, he had begun to wonder whether it might not have agreed with him. Now he shifted uncomfortably, trying to let go of his wind as quietly as possible. Squatting triumphantly in his place, Harry made his first call.
Red.
Catherine glanced down at her ace of spades. Seven thought the Queen of Hearts looked very pretty. Somewhat like Janeway, really. Around the chin, she decided, as she settled herself carefully in the captain's lap. Between the too tight top and the trousers, Janeway could make out a thin horizon of new flesh.
Oh, God. That looks too tempting not to touch.
Meanwhile, Neelix noted that his Jack of Diamonds looked rather constipated. If only he had a similar problem, he silently bewailed. He turned to his side, eyeing Chakotay apologetically and revealing his red card.
Sorry, Commander.
Chakotay looked at his 10 of clubs.
So I have to sit here while Neelix plonks himself in my groin.
I thought you might enjoy that, given Ensign Harvey's comments last night.
Before Chakotay could respond to B'Elanna's comment, Neelix settled his buttocks in the large hollow between the commander's legs. He thought he would survive this after all. There seemed to be little down there to disturb Neelix's rear end, and he seemed to have achieved a balance between allowing pressure to bear on the small mass beneath him and the clenching ever so tightly. All he needed now was for everything to remain perfectly still. Nothing must move. Meanwhile, Seven became worried for the body beneath her, since Janeway had made an odd noise on her sitting.
Are you comfortable, Captain? I'm not crushing you.
Perfectly comfortable.
Without the barrier of underwear, the seams of Catherine's trousers were gently injecting themselves between Seven's buttocks. The sensation was moving away from pleasure and towards discomfort. Before either could prepare themselves, Seven's tailbone had nestled itself against the heat between Catherine's legs, and the captain breathed out hard and fast against the back of Seven's neck.
Yes. Perfectly comfortable.
Chakotay was becoming aware of an unusual scent, rising from the point of contact between Neelix and himself. For a moment, he entertained the bizarre notion that their joining, like some unfortunate combination of elements in a chemical reaction, had produced some sort of noxious byproduct. He thought back to elementary chemistry. Perhaps there would be an explosion. Intrigued by the captain's initial reaction, Seven withdrew slightly and pressed backwards once more, ever so gently and steadily, There was a hot breath again.
Are you sure you are comfortable, Captain? Maybe I should shift my weight slightly.
There's really no need, Seven. Oh.
Hearing the breathy cry, Seven continued on, forward and backward, forward and backward, the movement too tiny for anyone but the pair to register. The cornflower curls on the back of Seven's neck tossed in a slow tide, wet from Catherine's breath. Catherine wanted to cry out. The color was high on her face. She beat back a, "Oh, God, Seven." If she moved her fingers just an inch forward, she could play with the peeping skin, just tickling, then sliding a little further up, pressing just a little harder, then a little harder, just a little harder.
Is there another card, Mr. Kim?
Harry drew the next card, and all readied themselves. Neelix thanked Prixon that he only needed to clench for a few more seconds and all would be well. Janeway closed her eyes, tilted her head back ever so slightly and bit her lip, hoping that Seven couldn't sense her arousal. Chakotay looked to the right and caught the movement. Catherine remained oblivious to Chakotay's scrutiny and dug her fingers into the carpet. Chakotay saw Catherine's flushed face and immediately his proverbial house of cards came crashing to the ground. Catherine under Seven? Enjoying it? This was unexpected. Something stirred in his pants.
Black?
Neelix felt stirring from beneath. Dear Lord of Talix! The commander was aroused by him. The shock! Every muscle in his body relaxed. Harry, cradling his five of spades, dumped himself on top of Neelix, on top of the commander. B'Elanna, meanwhile, brandished her black card, eyeing up Janeway and Seven next to her.
Room for a small one, ladies?
B'Elanna sat down heavily on top of Seven, on top of the captain. The pressure was too much. The air went silent, sweet and sticky with huge release.
Oh!
Shit! Sometime later, Janeway turned, having said her goodbyes to Tom, B'Elanna, Harry, the Doctor, Chakotay, and a highly embarrassed Neelix, to find there was still one crew member left in her quarters, and they seemed to be showing no signs of leaving.
Was there something else, Seven?
There was no obvious reason for the young woman to still be here. They had already changed back in their own clothes, though Seven had quickly recycled the captain's trousers before she could object, and replicated a fresh pair. Janeway had wondered exactly why that was necessary. Had Seven also felt something during the sitting game? Was that why she had persisted in making those movements while on her lap? Janeway noted with interest that the young woman seemed somewhat nervous, not replying immediately and averting her eyes from the captain's gaze. Finally she looked up and spoke.
I was studying the database earlier, during one of the breaks between games, and found another game that I would like to practice.
It's late, Seven. Can't this wait?
That seemed like a perfectly good excuse, she reasoned to herself. She really didn't want Seven staying here on her own a moment longer, or she might not be responsible for her actions. The night's events had sent her emotions into overdrive, and she really needed a cold shower and go to bed.
I would like to try this game now. Please?
Janeway was startled. Please? Seven had said please. She hardly ever did that. Only when she wanted something really badly. Like the time she had insisted that she go on the mission to that Borg cube, because she thought she had to sacrifice herself to save the rest of the crew. And just as then, the simple words spoken so earnestly by the young woman melted Janeway's heart.
All right, one quick game. What is it?
You may sit down while I replicate the necessary accessories.
Janeway gave the other woman a quizzical look before shrugging and going to sit down on her sofa by the window, her helpful little devil chirping in.
Accessories. I wonder which ones.
She shook her head, trying to disperse the distracting thoughts as Seven approached, having replicated what she had needed. Seven sat down next to Janeway and placed a small glass tumbler on the coffee table in front of them.
Seven, you seem to have forgotten to put any drink in the glass with the ice cubes.
Drink is not required for this game.
Ow.
She looked from the glass, which contained two ice cubes, to Seven, searching her eyes for a clue as to what she had planned.
So, what exactly does this game entail?
It involves the passing of an ice cube from one person to another. It is probably easiest if I demonstrate to you how it works.
Janeway narrowed her eyes and looked skeptically at Seven. Before she could question exactly how one passed an ice cube, Seven had reached down, plucked one of the ice cubes from the glass and placed it delicately in her mouth. Janeway's mind was racing.
Hang on, her mouth, that gorgeous mouth, those luscious red lips, her mouth, the ice cube was in her mouth, which meant...
Just as Janeway was reaching the obvious conclusion, she found Seven pressing her lips to her own, teasing the captain's mouth open with her tongue. Janeway's heart clutched in her chest, and she closed her eyes at the sheer bliss of the feeling of Seven's warm, soft lips upon hers. A small involuntary moan escaped from deep in her throat as a shiver shot through her whole body. Now she could feel the cool ice cube sliding into her mouth, contrasting with the warmth of Seven's lips and tongue. Seven's lips lingered slightly on the captain's before she moved away. Janeway was left swaying slightly, her eyes still shut as she tried to process all the emotions involved in what just happened. She put her hands upon the couch to steady herself and slowly opened her eyes. Seven was gazing back at her, with what Janeway knew was desire in her eyes. She knew, as it was also what was in her eyes. Neither woman spoke as they maintained eye contact, staring longingly at one another.
I believe it is your turn, Captain.
Janeway felt a sudden surge of warmth within her as Seven spoke the words. Her breath was coming erratically now, and she swallowed and took a few deep breaths. Her hand was shaking as she reached for the second of the cubes. Part of her mind was screaming at her to stop, that this was heading completely out of control, but she didn't care. She had to feel those lips again. She slipped the cube into her mouth, flicked her eyes up to meet Seven's, letting all her emotions show in them, along with the naked desire that was raging through her. She placed her hands on Seven's thigh as she moved closer, so that their knees were touching. She could feel the young woman's trembling underneath her touch. Maintaining the lock on the ice-blue eyes, she closed the space between them, and slowly, gently, let her lips caress Seven's. She heard the other woman let out a sigh, which only served to inflame her own passion more. Seven had closed her eyes, but Janeway continued to study the beautiful face, taking in every detail of the moment this time. She parted her lips and Seven eagerly responded, allowing Janeway to slide the cube and her tongue into Seven's mouth. Now Janeway closed her eyes and let the sensations wash over her, finally pulling away with a deep sigh.
I'm afraid there are no more ice cubes, Captain.
Really? I think I still might have one here.
Seven looked at her with a puzzled expression, and Janeway just grinned mischievously back, before once again kissing the young woman. There was no turning back now. She had completely succumbed to the allure of this wonderful woman. When Seven was finally able to speak, she also had a hint of playfulness in her voice, which delighted Janeway.
I believe you were in error, Captain.
How so?
There was not an ice cube in your mouth.
Huh. Are you sure? Maybe you need to check again, Seven.
You may be correct. My previous examination may not have been thorough enough. It would be wise for me to investigate further.
Actually, I have another game I'd like to show you.
Yes? And what is this game?
I think this one would best be demonstrated in my bedroom.
Acceptable.
Janeway took the young woman's hand and led her to the other room. Seven couldn't believe this was happening. Here she was in the captain's bedroom with the captain about to engage in sexual activities. She felt herself getting dizzy at just the thought of it.
Are you okay, Seven?
Seven felt a comforting hand upon her shoulder.
You know, we don't have to do anything if you don't want to. There's no need to rush.
No!
She swung round to face the older woman.
I do want to.
Janeway smiled a smile that spoke to Seven's heart every time she saw it.
I have longed for this moment for so long. The fact that it has finally happened overwhelmed me for a moment.
Janeway took Seven's hand in her own and gazed into her eyes.
And I want you to know that I have wanted to be with you for so long, too. In fact, since you came on board, I've felt myself drawn to you. But I just couldn't allow myself to give in to my feelings. It would have been inappropriate.
And now?
Well, Seven, I think it's a little too late for inappropriateness, don't you?
I concur, Captain.
Good. Oh, and Seven, you can call me Catherine here.
Then I would like to kiss you again now, Catherine.
Janeway smiled her beautiful smile again. Seven wasn't sure if it was the brashness of her statement or the use of the captain's first name that had pleased her so, though the sound of the other woman's name coming from her own lips had certainly been pleasing to her.
Acceptable.
Janeway placed her hands on Seven's waist and guided her towards her, raising her head to allow their lips to meet in a sensuous kiss. Her hand slipped around Seven's back and slid up her slender torso, pulling their bodies even closer together. As she continued to be enveloped in the delightful kiss, Seven let her hands tangle in Catherine's fine auburn hair, sweeping her fingers through the strands at the back of her head. Seven was completely consumed by the passion of their kiss, as small gasps and moans erupted unbidden within her. She needed more of this woman. She needed to feel her skin, to feel her own skin against it. Not allowing the connection of their lips to break, she fumbled with Catherine's shirt, the buttons frustrating her again. Exasperated, she took a part off the shirt in each hand and tugged, popping all the buttons in one go. Janeway broke off the kiss suddenly, looking at her wrecked shirt.
That's certainly efficient.
Seven was just staring at the exposed bra and breasts.
Do you like what you see?
Yes.
Janeway reached out and took Seven's hand in her own before bringing it to rest on her left breast. Seven let out a gasp as she felt the soft flesh beneath her fingertips. Slowly she stroked her fingers across it, excited when she heard Catherine let out a small moan. Suddenly Catherine was kissing her again, with even greater passion than before. Her hands roamed over Seven's body and released the fastening of her biosuit. Seven quickly shrugged it off and kicked it away. Now it was Janeway's turn to stare.
You're so beautiful. God, that's corny, but it's true.
Seven could feel herself blushing under Catherine's scrutiny. Catherine was one who was beautiful. Those entrancing eyes, those wonderful lips, that gorgeous hair, that lovely soft skin. Swiftly she moved towards Catherine again, ripping the rest of her shirt and bra from her so that she could run her hands over the compact form, seeking out those sweet lips once more. She found herself falling onto the bed, guessing that somehow Catherine had maneuvered them over here. Then Catherine was over her, her hair trailing across her naked chest as she nibbled slowly up and along Seven's neck.
I want to kiss every part of you.
Seven closed her eyes and let herself be taken by the amazing feeling of Catherine's lips upon her skin, and then shuddered as Catherine reached her ear. The other woman's warm breath whispered across it. Her lips were barely touching it, yet that was even more madly arousing. Seven let her hand stroke across Catherine's bare back, digging her fingers in slightly when she felt a moist tongue flicking her ear. Only after a minute did she realize that the sound had come from her own lips. Catherine came to hover above her, gazing lovingly at her with a smile on her face. The small woman lowered herself so that she could nibble Seven's bottom lip before turning into a full kiss. Catherine slid to Seven's side as her right hand glided its way across the young woman's smooth abdomen, and then gently caressed her left breast. Seven let out a low moan again, as Catherine took her nipple between her index finger and thumb, and teased it and the young woman. Catherine's mouth replaced the fingers, and Seven wondered if it was possible to die from pleasure. As Catherine's hand slid back down across her stomach to tangle in the coarse hair below, she thought that her cortical node might just explode from the sheer bliss that she was feeling. Then as the slender fingers dipped even lower into the wetness below, Seven just stopped thinking completely. As the intensity of the sensations flooded her entire body, Janeway kept teasing her, Seven's flesh aching for that final penetration.
Oh, Catherine, do it!
No stealing my lines now, Seven, or I'll have to punish you.
In that case, in my ready room, now!
You asked for it.
Catherine slipped a single finger inside her. Seven tipped her head back and letting out a strangled, gasping cry.
Walk back to six. Engage!
Impersonating the captain is a court-martial event, you know.
Janeway slipped another finger inside the woman, curling it against the slick flesh.
Will I get chained up in the brig?
Janeway increased the rhythm of her strokes.
I think we can forgo the brig. I think my quarters will suffice, but we may have to keep the chain, Seven.
Seven felt a fresh wave of moisture surge between her legs at the thought, as Janeway's thrust became more urgent. Seven's hands flailed about for something to grasp, her left hand grabbing a handful of sheet and her right tangling in Catherine's hair. the moans and the pants coming faster as Catherine skillfully moved her finger within her.
Time for me to reclaim my mind.
Catherine's head glided downwards to join her hand. Seven felt the hot breath fluttering over her.
Come for me, Seven. Do it.
The tongue that flicked across her clitoris was enough to send shudders cascading through her. Her breath came in short, quick pants before her whole body tensed and then released in a moment of ecstasy. The next she knew was that Catherine was once more looking at her with those warm blue loving eyes. Seven could feel her whole body tingling. And when Catherine went to brush some loose strands of hair from Seven's face, she felt shivers skitter down her spine again. She closed her eyes and reached up to hold Catherine's hand in place against her cheek, turning to kiss the palm.
I love you, Catherine.
Catherine beamed back at her, the smile lighting up her whole face.
And I love you, Seven.
Sometime later.
Who is this Patricia, and what is her affiliation with oven-baked confectionaries?
It's a game, Seven. It's to do with the lyrics of the song you sing.
While you clap your hands?
Yes.
Seven unfolded her arms and crossed her legs too.
I had concluded it impossible for you to introduce me to any further irrelevant human activities. You have succeeded in surprising me.
I want to see the way your breasts move when you do it.
She put her hands on Seven's hips and encouraged her a little closer. Seven felt the bedsheet bunch and drag between her buttocks. One more question.
Will it be necessary to put our clothes on before we initiate this game?
No.
Good.
At that, Catherine smiled widely, raised her hands and pressed them together, as if to pray. Seven could see her fingertips lining up and blossoming like rosebuds. Her thumbs fit together nearly perfectly. All of her nails glowed like thin moons. Next, as though demonstrating a size, her hands moved apart, the space between them extending from a demonstration of length of Jacote's penis to the width of the Borg's breast. And then she turned her hands horizontally, with palms facing each other.
Mirror me. Now turn your hands the other way, so your palms can meet mine.
Seven did as instructed.
That's beautiful, Seven. Now turn your hands to mine. And then turn the angle 45 degrees and touch them to mine again. Now clap your hands together.
What is the rhyme we sing to this?
Patty cake, baker's man. Bake me a cake as fast as you can. Pat it and press it.
Catherine could think of a delicious way to demonstrate this, but did not.
Mark it with a B.
Catherine took Seven's hand gently in her own, and with an index finger of the other, softly traced the letter B on her palm.
I like this game.
I thought you might.
Seven looked at Catherine with wide eyes, so she wanted her to finish it.
And put it in the oven for Seven and me, oh Seven of mine.
Seven's tongue traced the roof of her own mouth.
Catherine, what is the action to accompany that final line?
Catherine was grinning.